If you enjoy these episodes, please consider donating to help keep this podcast going by clicking on the link in the description of this episode. Also, please give the podcast a 5-star rating and share it with your friends and family. Third part, question 48, the efficiency of Christ's passion. Article 1. Whether Christ's passion brought about our salvation by way of merit. Grace was bestowed upon Christ not only as an individual, but inasmuch as he is the head of the church, so that it might overflow into his members. And therefore Christ's works are referred to himself and to his members in the same way as the works of any other man in a state of grace are referred to himself. But it is evident that whosoever suffers for justice's sake, provided that he be in a state of grace, merits his salvation thereby, according to Matthew 5:10, blessed are they that suffer persecution for justice's sake. Consequently, Christ by his passion merited salvation not only for himself, but likewise for all his members. Article 2. Whether Christ's passion brought about our salvation by way of atonement. He properly atones for an offense who offers something which the offended one loves equally or even more than he detested the offense. But by suffering out of love and obedience, Christ gave more to God than was required to compensate for the offense of the whole human race. First of all, because of the exceeding charity from which he suffered. Secondly, on account of the dignity of his life which he laid down in atonement, for it was the life of one who was God and man. Thirdly, on account of the extent of the passion and the greatness of the grief endured. And therefore Christ's passion was not only a sufficient, but a superabundant atonement for the sins of the human race. According to 1 John 2:2, he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. Article 3. Whether Christ's passion operated by way of sacrifice. St. Paul says in Ephesians 5:2, he delivered himself up for us, an oblation and a sacrifice to God for an odor of sweetness. A sacrifice properly so called is something done for that honor which is properly due to God, in order to appease him. And hence it is that St. Augustine says, a true sacrifice is every good work done in order that we may cling to God in holy fellowship, yet referred to that consummation of happiness wherein we can be truly blessed. But, as is added in the same place, Christ offered himself up for us in the Passion. And this voluntary enduring of the Passion was most acceptable to God as coming from charity. Therefore it is manifest that Christ's passion was a true sacrifice. Moreover, as Augustine says farther on in the same place, the primitive sacrifices of the Holy Fathers were many and various signs of this true sacrifice, one being prefigured by many, in the same way as a single concept of thought is expressed in many words, in order to commend it without tediousness. Augustine elsewhere observes, there are four things to be noted in every sacrifice, to wit, to whom it is offered, by whom it is offered, what is offered, and for whom it is offered, that the same one true mediator reconciling us with God through the peace sacrifice might continue to be one with him to whom he offered it, might be one with them for whom he offered it, and might himself be the offerer and what he offered. Article 4. Whether Christ's passion brought about our salvation by way of redemption. It is written in 1 Peter 1:18, you were not redeemed with corruptible things as gold or silver from your vain conversation of the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb unspotted and undefiled. And in Galatians 3:13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. Man was held captive on account of sin in two ways. First of all, by the bondage of sin, because whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin, John 8:34, and by whom a man is overcome, of the same also is he the slave, 2 Peter 2:19. Since then the devil had overcome man by inducing him to sin, man was subject to the devil's bondage. Secondly, as to the debt of punishment, to the payment of which man was held fast by God's justice, and this too is a kind of bondage, since it savors of bondage for a man to suffer what he does not wish, just as it is the free man's condition to apply himself to what he wills. Since then Christ's passion was a sufficient and a superabundant atonement for the sin and the debt of the human race, it was as a price at the cost of which we were freed from both obligations. For the atonement by which one satisfies for self or another is called the price, by which he ransoms himself or someone else from sin and its penalty, according to Daniel 4:24, redeem thou thy sins with alms. Now Christ made satisfaction not by giving money or anything of the sort, but by bestowing what was of greatest price, himself, for us. and therefore Christ's passion is called our redemption.